Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, a fresh in the trenches dialogue where we talk about grown up situations in a very unprofessional way. My name is Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we're so glad you joined us today. Okay, this week, well, I don't know. Timing of this and last is tricky, but in the last week.
In our lifetime recently.
Sure. You and I got to hang out in real life with consummate podcast guest April Robeson and my friend Amy, who flew in to bridge the gap between our digital relationship.
Finally, someone had to take the step.
Yeah. So glad it was her.
Because you guys have never met in person, so...
That's correct.
Apparently, many of us on both sides were warning both of you that the other one could be a 40-year-old man.
Well, sure.
Could be David.
Yes. It could be younger than David.
a youth.
A
youth of David.
That's terrible. But anyway, we ventured to David's restaurant, and we had a really lovely time, but most of our conversation revolved around boobs.
And we prefer it that way.
Yeah. Lots of boob talk. And we realized, with October being National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, April had the suggestion that we should do a boob episode. And we said,
not enough.
No,
we need to do 4 or 5
boob month.
Yes.
So here we are.
Be in it to win it, April.
That's what people are always saying about April. So here we are. It's boob month.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah?
Yes.
Good.
That wasn't obvious. I mean, it feels like anytime women, or especially moms, I don't know, I'm trying to remember my life as a mom, which feels like it didn't, before I was a mom, which feels like it didn't exist. And I feel like the all you want to do is like kind of compare things to be like, oh, this is weird. This is normal. Do your boobs hurt when you're on your period?
Right.
Like, is it weird? I don't know. Just, there's just like a lot of things.
Yeah.
That it just like naturally, and especially when you're a mom, because you pretty much like lose all your dignity.
Yeah.
So, well, it's like no problem. Like, we were maybe together for an hour or two before Amy was showing us her bra and why it worked and didn't work.
That's right. That's right. And the rest of her trip, she was very unhappy with her bra. So if you have a good suggestion for a pumping bra for my friend Amy, let me know.
Yes.
But that's actually another episode.
Yes.
We'll be talking about breastfeeding.
Yeah, we will cover that in another episode. Our friend Christina is going to be back.
Yes. I'm so excited.
Which will be really good. And a couple other things we got planned. So before we get into all that, we are going to announce our community read of October. We asked everyone what you all thought. And probably the majority of the votes were for Before We Were Yours.
Yes.
By Lisa Wingate. I looked at the... what it's about. What's that called?
The summary.
Yeah. I looked at the summary. It looks really enthralling, and it looks like it takes place in two different timelines. That's one of my favorite.
Yeah. Anything that has multiple characters or multiple times.
Yes. And so I think it'll be really good. Our last episode of the month, Halloween, right before Halloween, the day before, October 30th, almost Halloween. That will be what we talk about. That episode is book club.
Yeah, this podcast episode will be in costume as book club.
Good one.
Get it?
Crushed it. Anyway, so yeah, that's our new idea for community read, is we're going to take a little extra time because we absolutely loved... What did we read?
The Virtue of Sin. We loved it so much that we can't stop thinking about it. But actually, in full transparency, we walked away from our last book club episode and we were in... I don't know, 12 minutes of being apart from this recording. We're texting each other like, I had so much to say.
So we want to give it a little more time. And especially because it seems like a lot of you are readers as well. So, and if you're not, what's wrong with you?
We will shame you until you read.
Anyway, though, what's going on with women?
Do you follow or know about Alison Roman?
No, I don't know who that is.
She is a writer and a cook who has been creating... It feels like every new recipe that she creates has gone viral. Last year, around Christmas, she had these chocolate chunk shortbread cookies that were like everywhere that she created the recipe. And then recently, the spiced chickpea stew.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm excited to try. I tried the shortbread cookies and they were phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that you needed to add chocolate to shortbread.
You have to add chocolate to everything.
But yeah,
that's just science.
She was right. Anyway, so she was just recently profiled in Elle magazine ahead of her second cookbook coming out. Her two cookbooks are Dining In and Nothing Fancy.
I love those titles.
Yeah. Well, she was talking about her success and her popularity, and she is summing it up to, she said it's her best breakup revenge because she and a longtime boyfriend had broken up like right before all of these recipes are going viral.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, so basically screw you because now my name is everywhere and my work is everywhere. So I thought it was so funny that she's like succeeding as a female, but she's also like, yeah, but I still have like basically two middle fingers up at my boyfriend who broke up with me.
Kind of like,
yeah, well, at first I couldn't just, well, first I was like, you are awesome. And then I was like, I don't know. Could we just like have success apart from anything being tied to a breakup or a boyfriend? But no, I think it's great.
Yeah.
But, so she has a new recipe out that is one pot chicken with caramelized lemons. And I...
Caramelized lemons is something I need to know more about.
Yes. Well, yesterday you went to Costco and picked up some whole chickens for me. Little did you know that it was so I could try this recipe.
Oh.
So I'll report back. But everything that I've made of Allison Roman's is phenomenal.
Well, that's very cool. Yeah. I think it's a tricky line because... you want to find success and you want to be like that, like, I don't know, great apart from any man.
Yeah.
Or whatever, like, especially, like, you know,
independent
if you have like ended things with that person. But I kind of like her honesty. And maybe when she said that, she just meant like the timing was in like a coincidence.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, January.
It wasn't like every time she.
Every recipe was fueled by like.
Yeah, exactly.
Vitriol.
But I don't know. I didn't read it. It could be.
Yeah,
that could be what powers her.
I don't think it read quite that way, but she does get into some detail about, like, just how much.
I always think it's better to say nothing.
Yeah, because I do...
Or less, say almost nothing.
I do think it's really hard to be a public figure like you and I are, and to go publicly talking about the details of a breakup, unless there was, like, abuse happening that you're, like, sounding the alarm for.
Right.
It's really hard for any of us to talk about a breakup and not revert a little bit to adolescence.
Yeah, that's true. Because it, especially if it's not, I don't know, I would love to know the percentage of like super healthy breakups.
Yeah.
But especially if she's saying revenge, it sounds like that person maybe like did her wrong in some way.
Yeah. Well, because it kind of brings up like, I don't know, several years ago, January Jones won an award and put a boyfriend on blast.
Oh, hilarious.
Also, like, in her acceptance speech. Like, everyone thinks it was Ashton Kutcher that she was putting on blast, but...
How long ago was it?
Years. I mean, like, when Mad Men had first come out or something.
Is that more than 10 years ago?
Oh, hard to say.
And he's been with Mila Kunis for, like, 10 years, is why I asked.
Oh, yeah, and was with Demi Moore before then.
Right.
But basically, it was a relationship that she had when she first came to Hollywood, so...
Okay.
Young. And I guess that boyfriend was like, you're never going to be anything. You're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So when she accepted the award, she was like, this is for him who said I was going to never be anything or make it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay, is very empowering, I guess, for a little girl, not a little girl, a girl Me. Sitting with you right now. but it also is like, well, but now like you're tying that success to Bass relationship. I don't know.
Yeah, I go both ways. I can see it from both sides because I kind of like this. I like acknowledging like that everything isn't perfect and a lot of us have things that have propelled us to where we are. Or
sure.
Like, it's nice to be able to say like, you look ridiculous now because I'm amazing.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty therapeutic. So I don't know. I'm trying to decide if I think that it empowers women or depowers women. And I guess I still think it's empowering.
Yeah, probably so. But there is no question that these recipes are delicious. So boyfriend or no boyfriend, Allison,
yeah, I want to try that one thing.
Well, you and I both just watched Late Night.
Yes.
With
yes,
Emma Thompson and Mindy Kaling.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was so good. But a listener DM'd us and said, have you watched it? I had not, but I'd seen it on my Prime scroll. I loved it.
I thought it was fantastic. And I loved Mindy Kaling really showed her... broadness.
Yeah,
that's
I
not
agree.
The word. As an actress.
Breath.
Thank you.
what every female actress wants to
broadness.
Hear. You showed your broadness.
Because she like is very different than her character in The Mindy Project, The Office, and all of that. And I just thought like she played this like very, very sensitive character who like in The Mindy Project, that character would have had like a quip and would have let everything roll off of her.
Yeah.
I just loved it. I'm like, oh, I like she's a very good writer and actress.
Emma Thompson is a queen.
Oh, yes.
I mean, she's fantastic. And also, I wanted to be able to pull off her style
100%
in that movie all day long.
Yes.
I thought it was wonderful.
And her gravitas.
Yes.
Like, I just really liked it. As much as this was played as a character flaw, like, I loved her ability to, like, just kind of, like, crush everyone. Mm-hmm. But almost not, like, not offensively. Like, it was just very impersonal. Like,
yeah, it was not, just accepted about her.
Right. Like, it was almost, like, not even mean. It was just, like, the way she...
Yeah.
Anyway, and John Lithgow,
he's so great.
He is great. And I, was amazed. And he was playing someone with Parkinson's.
Yes.
And the way he acted, it was crazy.
Yeah.
I think he's very talented.
Well, I'm actually going to watch it again because while I was watching it, I was also sewing for a side gig and cooking for a side gig. So my attention was not as focused as I wanted it to be because I loved it so much that I am okay, I need to now carve out some time to just sit and watch
it.
Versus, because when I turned it on, I was like, oh, this will be like good background noise while I do these things.
And yeah, kitchen. I put it on to do laundry bed.
Oh, perfect. I ignored laundry chairs.
Right.
Big news. We sold laundry couch.
Upsetting.
Yeah, now we have two chairs that have become laundry chairs, but we're just spreading the love.
Yeah.
But by the by, I would like to watch it again, but I thought it was great. Hugh Dancy is in it. And
it
took me a while to figure out who it was.
Yeah, because he plays someone with an American accent. Has he done that before?
I don't know, probably. But he also had aged more than the last thing I'd seen.
Yes. And what's his name who plays also in Veep?
Tony Shalhoub.
What?
I don't know.
Tony Shalhoub plays Monk.
Ah, right.
Reed Scott. He plays in Veep, and he has a similar role in Veep, but different, and I don't want to give any spoilers. But he plays the person who kind of wants to see Mindy Kaling fail. And it's just,
allegedly.
It's just a good. Yeah, exactly. That may or may not. I admit that's not a spoiler.
Hannah.
He plays a great role, too. Like, I feel like the roles are really padded out well. Mindy Kaling is a fantastic writer. Did she write it alone? I think it was written by her, directed by Nisha Ganatra. Mm-hmm. I might be saying that incorrectly. So a women powered movie. Love the women and the men in it. Like, it's just really,
and it felt different than a rom-com.
Yeah, it did. I didn't really know what I thought. Like, it doesn't go how you think it's going
to
go.
So I thought it was going to be very similar to a movie with Rachel McAdams called Morning Glory.
Oh yeah, I never ended up watching that. I wanted Diane Keaton. But
I still would recommend watching it. It is good. Diane Keaton, Harrison Ford. But it is a little fluffier.
Right.
But it's really good. It's based on, like, morning news. And Rachel McAdams is a producer. It's good. But this was very different. But when I had seen it on my scroll for a while and was like, oh, it's probably just, like, Morning Glory, but later. And it's a similar concept, but I just really enjoyed it.
I love Mindy Kaling. I think everything she touches turns to gold.
Yeah.
And so I just can't wait to see what comes next. Because what did she just do that we're obsessed with? Duh.
Four
Weddings and a Funeral. Yes. Amazing.
Listener Rachel tagged us in her story this weekend to let us know and others know that she's been watching Four Weddings and really enjoying it. So,
yeah. It's like the one thing I tell everyone lately. I'm like, are you watching it yet?
I posted
good.
On every Facebook thread when someone's like, what should I watch next?
Yeah.
I'm like, Four Weddings and a Funeral. Yeah.
Anyway.
With that fervor.
And also, if you are looking for other, like, dry humor things, watch Veep, because it's very good.
Okay, good to know.
Anyway, that was a little snippet of what women are up to.
Yeah, and we'll take a quick break.
Yeah.
Come back with boobs in your face.
That was good. All right, so we've been getting together at 5 a.m. on Mondays for a while.
Sure have.
And while I love starting my day with you.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Agreed.
And I love gushing about things, especially our upcoming convo about boobs.
Yes.
I could not do it if I didn't have my Lineage coffee.
Oh, that's great. So do you feel like Lineage gives you like a fresh ground pep?
Yes, I do. I also feel like you should join their marketing team. Should you?
TM.
You might be.
Fresh ground pep. Yeah. Tell me what you love about Lineage.
I drink my coffee black. I did not used to until I was introduced to Lineage coffee.
What's the difference?
Every other coffee is garbage. That's the difference.
Good, perfect.
You heard it here first.
TM.
It's fresh. They actually go around quite a bit to check out where these coffee beans are grown. They take a lot of time to make sure they're roasting each one perfectly.
Wow.
So the difference is a lot of these coffees you're getting from the store, from other places, are roasted and burnt quite a bit just to all reach the same flavor profile. That's why the beans or the grounds that you get from another bag are like black.
Yeah.
Like ideally they're like a brown,
a nice
deep brown.
Incinerated coffee.
Nice, lightly tanned, roasted.
That's great.
Tan is not the color. It needs to be brown.
Right.
Anyway.
A nice beige,
fresh off the off the plant. I'm kidding. Don't do that. Because where they're grown brings with it a lot of flavor profiles. So you're not just getting like your coffee. You're getting like a little bit of like what's around it. My favorite coffees come from Ethiopia this time of year.
Okay.
They tend to like have a lot of blueberry notes.
Who knew there was seasonality in notes to things?
Well, it comes from Ethiopia and is put out this time of year, so it's definitely not grown and harvested this time of year, maybe like a little earlier in the year. Anyway, they also do a lot on their Instagram account to like educate you about coffee roasting.
Perfect.
So look them up at Lineage Roasting, and if you want to put in an order, use the code A Good Idea. I think it's 15% off your order, and let them know we sent you.
So, you know how Maya really likes your boobs on your stomach?
Yes, she's very complimentary about them.
Yeah, she must have given Norbeth some ideas on how to speak life to someone.
Naturally.
Because
I'm sure they talk.
Yeah, the other morning after getting out of the shower, Norbeth checked me out and said, I guess when I get big, I will have big nipples, a hairy bottom, and a big old stomach. But she said it so matter of fact.
Right. Was
there
she,
was
like,
no,
excited or bummed or it, no?
She seemed just, she was it just, resigned.
It is what it is.
Resigned to the fact.
Yeah.
So I said, you think I have a big stomach? And she turned me to the mirror and put her hand on it and shook it and said, look at it.
Open your eyes, Mom. So, it's time to not live in your fake
right
dream world anymore.
Right. So if anyone needs an accountability partner, Maya and Norbeth are available. They have just started their LLC.
We're charging for their time so it can go into our therapy account.
Yeah. Well, they watched James Corden talk about how we shouldn't body shame more.
Yeah.
And thought,
they're like, look at you. You're amazing. Your boobs are on your stomach.
Like,
and
Bill Maher was really onto something here.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So big old nipples is also what she really took in around that. And
right.
Has she and Anna Blair have been into asking other women if they can see their nipples and really
naturally
use mine as a comparison point. My mom was over the other day and Anna Blair said, I want to see your nipple. And my mom said, no.
Mm-mm. I don't think we'll be.
And Norbeth was like, do they look different than mommy's? So apparently.
And your mom's like, and I'm never coming back here.
Right.
Because they're savages.
I gotta go. Bye. So I guess what I'm saying is the curiosity in other women's boobs begins at age 2.5.
Yeah.
And only grows.
And only grows, for sure. I thought it would be interesting to look up. Because, you know, like, they're, like, you always hear about the movement of, like, the 70s or whatever, where everyone was burning their bras.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to know, like, where bras came from.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, there are so many things that we just do, and I'm always like, wait, why do we do
like
this?
A holding contraption for your body part.
Yes, exactly. But apparently, bras have been being used in some fashion, possibly since ancient Greece.
Oh, wow.
Which I was a little surprised about, because I, you know how I'm always saying, like, oh, we ruined everything now. Things used to be good in ancient times.
Yeah, no, women were always repressed.
Women have always been repressed, turns out. Newsflash.
Yeah. I would imagine that was one of the first lies the snake told Eve was, in addition to this fruit.
Your boobs are flashing all around, and that's
something
ridiculous.
Yeah.
Did you know if you run, it could not be uncomfortable?
That's true.
But I thought that was interesting, but like by using like cloths to tie them back. But in 1914, a socialite by the name of Mary Phelps Jacobs.
Okay. I already like her.
Yes. Took basically like I think she had like an event to go to and she needed a gown. Naturally, as socialites did.
Right. As many of us do.
As many of us do. Times are ruined now. I've said it many times. And, so it used to be at that point, I think, the traditional like whalebone corset.
Ugh.
And so she, as I read, told her maid to go bring her some handkerchiefs and ribbons.
Perfect.
And they sewed basically just a bra, called it a brassiere. And then she was like obsessed with it. And so she started like kind of trying to make more. She patented it.
Wow.
And as she said,
she doesn't get nearly enough credit, nor does her maid.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The unnamed maid who was probably really the brains behind this entire thing.
Yeah. Because back then it was the like slim boyish style was in, mm-hmm. you know, like the flapper mm-hmm. era and all that. And so she said the thing that she loved about the bra was that she could move around a whole bunch and that it only confined what needed to be confined.
Oh, interesting.
So she liked that about it. And of course, then my question is, why are we confining? Why do we need to be confined?
Sure.
Mary Jacobs, tool of the patriarchy.
And maid.
And maid. Thank you for being a part. No, but yeah, I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
Patent in 1914. So been used forever, but this I guess it started.
Monetized.
Yeah, monetized in 1914.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so then let's pause and talk about bras.
Yeah.
Do you like bras?
That's such a good question. I was looking up if they're even beneficial, and I found two completely opposite things. I feel like I decided to not record in a bra. I'm already like super hot.
I'm really glad to know that because I almost didn't put on a bra mm-hmm. because my kids were actually asleep and I didn't want to take longer than I needed to get out of the house.
Right.
But I fished out like some bra of my sister's from middle school when she like didn't. It's like it's basically like a training bra, which I am not that size. And I am like
having nursed three children. Yeah. I'm sure you're.
And also probably 70 pounds heavier than that aged sister. Like I'm feeling not comfortable. Mary Phillips Jacobs.
Right. Mary Phillips Jacobs. What can you do for us?
Yeah, really. Where's my whalebone?
I found. Yeah, exactly. We need to revert back. I found a company that I like for myself. If you're looking, shoot me a message and I'll share with you. But at the same time, I'm just like, this is so annoying. They're so expensive.
Yes.
And it did take me forever. I had to like spend money on some that I didn't like. Now, I will say, I like that a lot of companies these days like are like, if you don't like it, send it back. But I'm like,
That seems like a lot of trouble.
I'm not going to do that. Yeah, exactly. You got me with your good customer service. Yeah. Like, whatever, I'll keep your bra. So I've done some ordering around in the last year because after I finished nursing Maya and all mm-hmm. that, I'm like, all right, I need to like not wear nursing bras. She hasn't nursed in 2.5 years.
Okay, well, I only wear nursing bras aside from this middle school.
Right. That and nursing bras and training bras.
Yeah, it feels great.
Yeah.
But I feel, okay, I guess I don't take care of my boobs in the way that people would advise. I haven't.
Okay, what are people advising?
Well, people who, I don't know, the ether of people.
Sure.
You know, actually getting measured and fitted.
Oh, yeah. Well, because, you like, know. Where are you going to go? I don't like Victoria's Secret, like, even if I did want to go into the store, I'm intimidated because they always look so, like, svelte. No, that's not the word. They always look very, like, put together and, like, they're all black.
Concave.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, concave. They look kind of like models, people who work at Victoria's Secret. So I'm like, you're not measuring me for a bra, for sure not.
No, and the other places I know could measure me, but then I'll feel like I have to buy their bras and they're going to be too expensive. Like, Soma, they're supposed to be great, but...
Oh, yeah. It's really... I'm not well, going there. That's why I kind of like the online game, as I like with everything, because they provide really... thorough ways to measure yourself and then
I don't even do that. I'm
free
just like,
shipping. Bleh. Well, and then you can return it for free and get a new size which I have had to do a couple times, but it's been good customer service. So I've liked that. And I have found a bra that I've been wearing quite a bit. But the annoying thing is like I don't know if this is like, I think the way we all put on and lose weight is different.
Yeah.
For me, the second I put on a little extra weight, it's in my boobs.
Sure.
So then I'm like, well, okay, I just spent like $50 on a bra. And uh-huh. I'm not buying a new one because, like, ideally I go back down after my summer of stress. So I've just spent all summer with, like, my boobs, like, kind of falling out of my bra. So I'm like, at this point, like, why am I wearing this? Like, as if this looks better.
Right. Well, so I still wear nursing bras because it's what I have. And I have weeded out the ones I didn't like anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I have those. And then I have found, per Amy's recommendation, these Gap seamless bralettes that mm-hmm. I wear now exclusively, which are great, except they are a little strappy. Like, you just have to be careful with what you're wearing because they'll just poke out a lot.
Right.
The straps, but they're very, very, very comfortable. I mean, very comfortable, more so than a regular bra.
If I'm wearing a bralette, I might as well just not wear a bra.
Okay, well...
That's just the size we're looking at here.
The only... Yes. Well, sure. The only caveat to these bralettes are they don't supply as much nipple coverage as you may desire them to, depending on what you're wearing.
Yeah.
I was walking out the door to a meeting with our chairman of the board for my work, and I stopped in the bathroom to look at myself, and I was wearing a really cute dress, and I had on this bralette. And I looked and I was like, oh, no, there is not enough coverage here.
Yeah.
So then I have no idea what we talked about all during lunch because I was so concerned with what I was or was not putting on display as a result of this bralette.
Well, that is a good point. Is in that I was reading, I went I went on BuzzFeed and I just searched boobs.
Oh, perfect.
I thought, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And one of their writers had decided to, like, for a story, go a week without a bra. And she was like, I just felt, and she kind of, like, details, like, a short diary entry of, like, every day.
Oh, that seems like
and
a good
she,
article.
Yeah, she talks about, she's like, I literally felt like I had to explain to everyone that I came in contact with, like, oh, I'm just doing, like, oh, I'm going for a week with no bra. And she's like, I noticed that, weirdly, they didn't seem to be that invested in my personal life. Because, but, which is, like, I thought about
is
that.
Is she large?
No, I'm average.
Okay.
But.
Cup size, I mean, not like
cup
body
size. Yeah, I would, she said it was a bit, she said D. Yeah.
So,
she seems like around my cup size.
Okay.
She said like D or E, depending on the bra company and, like time of the month and stuff like that. So she went around basically and she's like, literally everyone I talked to, I just felt like I had to like be like, oh yeah, haha, I'm trying this thing.
In case you've noticed, I'm going to go ahead and tell you everything.
Right, exactly. And I thought that yesterday because I'm like, okay, well this, like my bras are annoying at this point because I feel like I'm kind of falling out of them. I'm not replacing them right now because I like kind of invested in like a new line of them.
Yeah.
A couple, like what? It's like two or three.
Are they both from Target?
Weirdly, I did not go the Target route. Only because I didn't have time to sort through the clearance rack. No, I invested a little bit because I wanted one that was, like, comfortable, and I cannot do anything less than full coverage. Like, that's a waste of my time. And, like, just yesterday I was going to a birthday party, and I'm like, there's no way I could not wear a bra. I would feel so insecure, just, like, the whole time. So I thought that was just an interesting perspective to read. But I read, I was just like doing research on if we need bras. Weirdly, there's not a ton of current research on it. I don't know why.
It was 1914. Mary Phelps Jacobs.
Yeah, just Mary Phelps Jacobs.
Her maid did it.
Yes, her maid wrote the study and did all the work. There was in 2013, there was a French study that came out about, do we really need bras? Like, are they really necessary? And they surveyed women, and they did say the caveat is everyone they studied was, like, under 35, 35
okay, well,
or younger.
Okay, that seems like a pretty big caveat.
Yeah. So they were, like, for that it was titled, like, for younger women, it might be beneficial to not wear a bra because...
Until you turn 36, and then all of a sudden...
Then get your bras.
Yeah.
Well, they were saying to not, if you start after 35, not wearing a bra for some reason... Like, they were like, we just haven't studied that. Like, the reasons that they say for under 35, like, it works your muscles more to just, like, and it gives you better posture and all these things. And then they a couple people were interviewed who were like, no, I haven't worn bras in a while, and I feel like I breathe better, and I have better posture, and I have no, like, less back pain. Presumably, these aren't women with, like, huge, like,
that
bigger...
also feels like a huge caveat.
Right. But then I read another thing from 2014 with, like, a Doctors in America. Classic America suppressing women saying
you'll die if you don't wear
yeah
bras.
Exactly, they were like, no, we do recommend,
we now have a bra vaccine.
exactly. So I don't know, I'm like, it's like literally both of those things were like going back and forth against each other. So, and then there, I couldn't find anything else because, like, you know, they don't, there's just so much fewer resources put into like things that are just for women in science.
Yeah.
So
well, as you know, I subscribe to whatever the patriarchy suggests for me.
Naturally.
And so as much as I wish that I felt this relief when my bra comes off, I really don't, because then I start to be concerned about other things like how are my nipples showing?
Right.
That's really my main one.
It's not comfortable for me unless I'm wearing like an XL shirt.
Okay, right.
So there's that. And I'm just like I'm sitting here right now and I'm like, oh, I'm so hot.
Yeah. Well, and I don't really like my skin to be touching my own skin.
Right, exactly,
and so,
exactly. That's like why I'm like, there's too much touching.
Yeah,
I need,
I do like a barrier.
Deodorant under my boobs.
I don't like underwire, so I won't wear underwire. But I do, like, the lift feels nice. I'm literally cupping them as I'm talking to you in this tiny bra situation that I have on. That is straining all of science. But yeah, I don't think about it for any scientific reason, good or bad. I know I I know the research. I don't really, but I have always been
that was a lie you got.
You know, it keeps your boobs from getting saggy and
right,
you know, all
right.
these things.
Which, like, the American doctors said it does. The French doctors say it doesn't.
Yeah, well,
do what you want, people. There you go. I've given you the information. Make your own decision.
We can't decide for you. But I will say, and we're going to talk about breastfeeding in a later episode in particular, but my boobs are now strictly utilitarian. Mm-hmm. I feel nothing about them other than ambivalence at this point of I'm happy with the size. Are they saggier than they used to be? Yes. Mm-hmm. Do they now have stretch marks underneath? Yes.
Right. Well, that was another thing is they said in this, in the French study, not wearing bras like helped stretch marks to fade.
I don't believe that.
I don't know. Take that with, I'll link it. You make your own decision. Because of course, like when they're selling it, I'm like, yes. And then now I'm like, oh, this is literally awful. But, it's just, I guess what you're used to. I will say there is a remarkable lack of information on sizing websites about sizing for like more saggy, like not super perky boobs.
Oh, that's a good, that is good. Because I do think that that comes into play as much or more than your actual cup
right,
size
because,
is your vertical
yeah,
size.
Because they were like measure like around, like at the fullest part of your boobs.
And you're like, well, as Maya said, mine are on my stomach.
Right,
so.
Exactly. And especially if you've like breastfed any children or just like don't naturally have super perky boobs, mm-hmm. which most people, I would say, I don't know. I think I don't know the science. I just think no one knows what anyone's boobs really look like anyway, because we're all wearing bras.
Right.
I think a lot of people have boobs that are not super perky. So you have to like add a cup size. I finally Googled it because I'm like, oh, I'm getting these like bras. I'm measuring exactly like they're saying, but like they're not fitting.
Interesting.
So you have to like go up a cup size if your boobs
because
are saggier.
Because you're lifting more skin.
Yeah, because you're lifting it and then putting it in the cup. So it's like your cup is overflowing.
Yeah. Again, with this audio medium, we are really showing you.
Yeah, we're
here
really sizing it
exactly
out using our hands.
How
it's
to
a very
do it. We are lifting, placing.
It's a very not complimentary to ourselves episode. But I mean, I guess the point is like it is what it is, and like we should talk about it more because especially with other women who get it and who can, because like I just had no idea that I was like wasting my time just following regular sizing guidelines.
Yeah,
because I'm like, why? No, I'm not like this cup size or whatever. Like you need to add on a little bit to account for like picking it all up and putting it in a
yeah.
different like place.
Into a container. Think about dinner last night and how different it was when you put it into Tupperware.
Perfect.
Difference.
That is a perfect analogy.
In college, in my favorite class I ever took, and I actually am currently emailing with my professor from that class, one because I just wanted him to remind me that I was his favorite
that
student.
Is, that
for
a is a
bit.
Classic example of your personality on display.
Like, hey, Dr.
Hey, man,
Martin.
It's me.
Yeah, it was.
Yes,
and I was
you
like,
want to grab a drink or
I was like, I don't know if you remember, but I was the record holder for class participation.
I remember.
Yeah, he back. He's like, of course I remember. You participated 212 times in my class.
Wow.
Anyway, he said that he has a student who's trying to break my record, but he does talk about me every semester, so that makes me feel very good about
yes.
myself. But
that is validating.
We did have to write, it was for a PR class, and we had to write a case study based on a poor like PR example. And so I chose, for whatever reason, to write about silicone boobs
okay.
and how they, we'll talk about implants and stuff later, but how people were getting sick from silicone boobs. So what does
right.
silicone do? Whatever. My entire first paragraph of that paper, he also reminded me of this, which now I'm like, oh, I was so confident at
right.
20 writing this paper.
Right.
It was like, my opening line was like, tits, bazoongas, bosoms, like just listing every
and he's
name.
Like, oh, I'm going to get sued.
Right. Like now I'm thinking like, this man was reading this
yeah.
barely out of teenage
yeah.
like, list. It was like a full paragraph about what people call and objectify boobs
oh
as.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, I think my closing line, like my thesis was like, the makers of silicone are finding it harder and harder to fondle this new research. And
oh
I was like, oh,
God.
Boy. I need to find the actual paper, but I got a 100 on it.
Yeah, he was probably like, 100, done. Please don't
whatever.
Come. Please don't say anything.
Please also don't show this to any of
yes.
my supervisors.
Oh, my God. Pillar of appropriateness, Caroline,
but,
is here to help with your academic needs.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it harkens back to, like, the things that you did then now feel
yeah.
so wrong in
right.
this culture. But
yeah.
I'm like, especially I opened it with tits.
Why did you start emailing him again? Unrelated to this conversation.
Just wanted
some
to say
self-validation.
Hi. Yeah.
Okay.
No, not self-validation. I just...
Wasn't it?
fine. One, I've been looking for my kindergarten teacher very much.
Wow.
So if anyone knows where Miss Loveday is from Knox County Schools, you let me know. But I like to maintain relationships with my teachers.
Move on. Move on.
With educators. I feel like educators need to know that I remember them.
I will say, several years ago, I ran into an old, for many years I was in band, and I was really good. And we had a great instructor for many, like, he was just very talented, and, like, his bands did great things. And our band, because I went to a private school, was very small.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran into him much later, and he didn't remember me, and I was a little offended.
That's really sad.
Because I was just like, I'm not... Like, I started out in trumpet, and then I moved to, like, French horn, and I was the only French horn player.
I'm so jealous that you played French horn. I played keyboard.
Oh, yeah?
In our band, but I was only allowed to play whole notes.
Well, that's awesome. I just did it. I don't want to go off on a
French horn
on a French horn rabbit trail, but I was good, and I was offended that he didn't remember me a little bit, even though he's, like, had, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands of kids go through his programs, and, like... At public schools where it's like not just a smaller band. So anyway so I get that in a little way.
Anyway, that was a little bit of a tangent. However, point
that relates to boobs in no way. I hope all of these like male instructors of ours.
Really. Yeah, that does feel weird to introduce male instructors into our conversation about boobs. But my whole point was about this paper in which I listed all the names that you would call boobs.
Mm-hmm.
What do you prefer boobs be called?
Oh, I just go with boobs.
Yeah. Is that what you tell your kids?
Yes.
Oops.
Yeah.
I just don't refer to them as anything except nipples. I mean, I don't refer to them as nipples. They now do.
Right. I go with boobs because I just, I try not to make any words weird around them.
Yeah.
And then, which led to my,
jugs or.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like breasts. It feels
breasts
weird to me.
Feels
Maya was like looking at a thing of some Milan's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles backpack or something, or lunchbox, something. And she was like, why does this turtle have boobs? And she was referring to like the pectoral plates. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm not going into that right. I was like, it was like after school. I'm like,
I don't know.
I'm like, everyone has boobs, Maya. Move on.
Get over it, Maya.
But anyway, so
is there anything that somebody could call? Like, do you like the term tits?
I neither care nor don't care.
I care very much. I hate it.
You hate it?
Hate it.
Does it offend you, or you're just like, that's stupid and annoying?
Very little actually truly offends me. Like, very little.
Yeah.
So, no, I just think it's not a nice sounding word.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it sounds mean or, like, degrading. I just think that it is.
I care more if men say things a lot of times.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, if you're a woman, you can say whatever you want.
It's just an unbecoming word. Okay. You know, like, so it feels like a middle school boy saying something.
Right.
Like a bad word.
Right. I don't care if women say it. If men say it, I'm like, you sound ridiculous.
I've also never heard a woman refer to her own breasts as anything other than boobs.
Yeah. Well, during our conversation with Amy in April, lots of other offensive and non-offensive terms came up. So I've heard a lot of things as of now.
But I don't like
DM each of them individually for their favorite
slang.
Yeah,
that's not our problem. But, like, now because my girls are very into nipples, I'm like, okay, well, eventually we'll have to talk about areolas, but I also hate that body term.
Oh, that's garbage. I don't like that at all. But, I mean, I also try to, like, say the real words for things as well, because back when I was working a long time ago, I had to take a class on preventing child sexual abuse and, like, being able to identify it, because I worked in a setting with kids. And they did say, like, they're like, one of the things that we encourage people to do is to teach actual words to kids, because like when you teach like cutesy code words or something, like if a child is trying to tell you that someone is like touching her inappropriately, like, for instance, some people call like vaginas pocketbooks and penises.
I babysat a little boy who called it a tallywhacker.
Well, that's really not what I... Okay, sure. Wallets. Something like that. Like something
weird.
That seemed very...
So because you would, like, put your wallet inside of a purse.
So they were like, if a child came up and said, so-and-so put his wallet in my pocketbook, you're just like, oh, whatever. Lots of kids have little pocketbooks that they play with. So they So that's what they were saying, like, make sure and tell your kids and kids around you, like, actual scientific words. Or just regular. Say the real words for things was the bottom line. So that was interesting. So I try and keep it to like real things. Like I'm not like,
yeah.
I don't know, something that if they were to have any sort of cry for help that would be understood. And also because I want to destigmatize everything. I don't want them to ever feel like they can't come to me or another adult they trust because like, oh, what if I'll feel weird about saying this word.
Yeah, totally.
Or talking about this.
I have tried to keep it like, I don't know. It's interesting. Well, I think because we don't see penises really, mm-hmm. because it's all like, I think we've talked about this before. I think Milan's was the first one Norbeth had ever seen one time when he came over to take a bath or swim or something like that.
Right.
And she was like, what's that thing hanging off your bottom? You know, like she just didn't understand. Cause I was like, oh yeah, we've just never talked about that. Cause they only see each other. But I'm like, okay, I don't know that they will quite understand, like, you have three things that we need to talk about. Like, your mm-hmm. urethra, your vagina, and your bottom.
Right.
So we kind of all just refer to it as bottom right now. So they've got a bottom and nipples.
I really liked a post I saw a long time ago. Actually, I think Amanda sent it to me or I sent it to Amanda that was discussing, of course, I don't remember where it came from, but it was discussing, like, vulvas and calling
things. Instead of a vagina.
Yeah, with, like, a child. Because, like, the woman was talking about, like, which, looking back, this is maybe a good example of moms oversharing on the internet, but she was saying something to her daughter. Her daughter was like, oh, we don't scratch our vulvas at the table or something. Oh, she was just, like, scratching herself. So she was like, I really want to use actual words for it and just about because, you know, you need to give them that body positivity to be able to name, like, the different parts of themselves.
Right.
Because, like, it's pretty easy to, like, name a penis. But it's like, you know, is it, like, that's, like, the outer part is not your vagina. So if you're like, oh, don't, anyway. So I try and do that with Maya. And of course,
she would find a way to make that backfire.
Like, yeah. Like I don't know. She'll see your stomach or something and be like, is that your vulva? And I'm just like,
in a way, there's like just enough shade.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. We're getting there, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, as we mentioned, we are going to be exploring this topic in all of its facets throughout the month.
Right.
So,
but in the vein of it being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, apparently you should get yourself checked, get a mammogram every year starting at 40.
Yep. That's right.
And
then earlier if you have a family history of breast cancer.
Okay. Yeah. So as always, we encourage that.
And self-examination also.
Yeah. My doctor's really good about checking in with that. I think, you're supposed to see your gynecologist every year, 3 years.
Every year because your pap smear and...
Well, they've changed that. If you haven't had one come back with abnormal results, they say you can come like every 3 years. Oh. I think, I don't know. You know, ask a doctor. I'm not a doctor.
Well, you should
not
see
medical
a doctor.
Advice.
You should just
call your doctor. I don't know. Anyway, yes, make sure you're getting yourself checked. I think any especially starting to get to like 30, 35, 40, 45 was, I think, the like absolute minimum of getting a mammogram every year.
Yeah.
And then I think you can ease up if you're over 55 or something. So anyway, this is very
really
informative.
We have no advice. At some point, you should get a mammogram. Don't know how frequently.
Yeah.
So do your own research.
Yes. And check yourself as well. Make sure to be on top of those things.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back.
So, as I mentioned, Amy was in town this weekend. Mm-hmm. She was staying at a hotel, which is a very nice hotel in our area. And she left Saturday morning. And so she asked, before I leave, do you want to bring the girls over so they can jump on the hotel beds for a little bit before I check out? And I was like, well, obviously you're a mom and a very fun mom.
Right.
Who would even know the appeal of that?
Right.
So we were like hustling out the door to get there. And so we arrive at this hotel at like 8:30, which we had been awake for about 3 hours at that point. So obviously it felt like afternoon and mm-hmm. then obviously almost bedtime. I forget that people without kids sleep some amount of time.
Right.
So 8:30 on a Saturday morning is not like neither here nor there of lateness, but many people were still asleep. But I troop into this very nice hotel with my three kids in tow, and everyone was so nice working there, but I could also see that they were like, you probably, this probably isn't like a family hotel.
Yeah.
So we get to the elevator, and Amy's room was at the end of the hall, and I was like, you guys can run there. And so they're like running down the hall, like, we're out of hotel.
Kids do not run quietly.
No. And they thought it was so great. And Amy, like, before we were even halfway down the hall, opened her door and she was like, I heard you coming. And I was like, oh no. So we then, like, proceeded to tear her hotel room apart a la Lindsay Lohan while she was packing.
A la, rock stars and stuff.
Totally. And then left with her, again, running down the hall, and Anna Blair is, like, all the way at the end going, one, guys! Guys,
Anna Blair is the loudest person I've ever heard, adult or child, in my life.
She has a very piercing voice.
Yes.
So we get back down to the lobby to leave. We were there for maybe 30 minutes, and an older couple were like, oh, you must be the ones that we heard
early
this morning. And they weren't mean, but I was just like, oh,
nope, that wasn't.
Nope, not us.
We've been here all night. We haven't been outside.
No, not my kids. We don't make noises. We know how to behave in fancy places.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I was
blow a dart gun at them to knock them out so they don't cry.
Right. Meanwhile, I was also running with them in the hall because there's just an appeal of that.
So, yes.
Sounded like a good idea to visit a fancy hotel.
And right. Be a fun mom.
Totally.
Always.
Always comes back to that.
Okay. Mine is a little bit more, we're going to have to turn this into a quick discussion. I think we've got a few minutes. I'll make time. Sounded like a good idea to know yourself. We talk about this a lot.
Okay.
So everyone is always like, wait, which number on the Enneagram are you? And I'm always like, I think it's a 3. I took the test like a year ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A year ago or so now. And I think it was like a 3-wing-2, something like that.
I'm a 3-wing-2.
Right. Then I'm remembering your results. But I know that moms skew towards 3. Uh-huh. So I retook the test this week. Oh. Amanda texted me and she was like, what number are you in? I'm like, I'm not fine. I just need to like take this test again.
Yeah.
My results were totally different.
Really?
I took 2 different tests because Joya also sent me a link.
Really?
Completely different tests. And both of them both of them Enneagram tests. Both of them have me as an 8 or a 7.
Interesting.
Mostly an 8, like 8-wing-7.
Wow. Well, what does that mean?
Well, I asked my dad.
Okay.
Because then I got into a whole thing about it with my friends. My dad has actually been doing a lot of, like, reading on the Enneagram. So I'm like, Dad, can you just please tell me?
Yeah, just tell me what I am.
Because Joya thinks I'm a 7-wing-8.
Okay.
My dad called me, of course.
Naturally.
My dad is more talkative than me.
Yes.
And was a former pastor. Mm-hmm.
He was ready to counsel you on
your
was,
result. And he did for quite a while.
Oh, wow.
So he gave me a long talk. Which, to be fair, after the whole talk, I said, I'm going to say all this and not give you credit and act like I came up with it. And then he said, okay, you're an 8.
That's funny.
I just think it was very interesting. I was just outsourcing all of this to my friends and my family. And I feel like I learned a lot more about myself. And I'm wondering, because then I read, like, your personality is not going to change.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure that it's just different for if you're, like, in the throes. Like, when I took this test a year ago, I was just in a very different place.
Yeah, interesting.
Like, and so I...
So do you feel like...
I'm done being mom, yes.
Do you feel like then your results, if your personality doesn't change, because I just had a conversation with somebody actually during an interview about the Enneagram, and I was saying, I was talking about Myers-Briggs specifically,
right,
and
right.
that I'm an INFJ.
I'm an ENFJ.
Look at us. But I said... I haven't taken it since I had kids. And he was like, oh, well, your results wouldn't change. You know, you are what you are.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, maybe. But then I kind of walked away from it. And this brings up a great point then. Mm-hmm. Is it your self-reporting then that changes?
Well, and that might be it. But I mean, also, I think it's your, like, a lot of the questions are based around your priorities. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, and as well, like, at this time last year, the things that I craved were just a little bit different than what it is now.
Sure.
And enough to where, like, maybe last year it was like you need to feel, or whatever it was, I could almost see having answered that a little bit differently a year ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there were just enough questions that I would have answered completely differently
mm-hmm.
last year, because last year I had one child at home all the time who was 2.
Yeah.
That is a very hard age to go through. It's a very good age because, like, kids need to go through these levels. But anyway, I can see how I would have answered it differently. So I just thought it was interesting. And I also want to know which number outsources all of their information, because that's also my number.
So then walking away from that, you would say that you are a what? 8-wing-7?
I would say I was an 8-wing-7 because my dad, he was like, well, I also think a lot of it is you have to, like, compare with the people who know you best. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, your family. Yeah, because he's like, your family a lot of times can see you from the outside. And he said I was an 8-wing 7, so that's it. My dad said.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, I just, now I finally, I feel like I can answer that. Because I keep, for the last, like, several months, I've been like, I think, because I also, like, forgot. So maybe my mind knew that it felt temporary.
Yeah. It, like, didn't.
Right.
Well, but, yeah, I think that that then shows, like, how much you didn't identify with it. Mm-hmm. Because when I've actually taken the Enneagram twice. And one time it told me I was a 2-wing 3. The next time it was a 3-wing 2. Mm-hmm. But they are so close mm-hmm. in how I score that I am like, I think that it does just depend on the day. Because the wing is what you swing to when you're stressed. And so I'm like, well, if I took it when I was stressed, it would have flipped.
Yeah. That's exactly what we were. My dad and I have now talked about it quite a bit. And He was saying, like, yeah, I think that there are parts of the 7, because there are parts of an 8 that are more withdrawn.
Okay.
That are not me. Like, I would, there are parts of me that are, like, in stress react more like a 7. Mm-hmm. Especially the parts of a 7 that, like, is always trying to, like, make light of a situation.
Yeah.
To a point of being inappropriate. And, like, you know, someone's perfect. Family member has passed away and I make the joke.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I have done that. But, and then I'm like, oh, that was not.
Walk away.
The funny thing is, you know, the Enneagram Institute website.
Yeah.
They have, like, this whole, that you can, like, look up how numbers react to each other in relationship. Uh-huh. So I looked up, because Pisan is a 1.
Yep.
As you have said, the onest one to have ever won.
Yes. Yes. The only one. There is no other number.
And
one wing one.
It was like an 8. And it was so funny because it refers to, like, an eight and a one. And it's all about, like, how 8 and 1s are in conflict with each other. And I'm like, this is it. And it's like how both, like, 8s can see 1 as a hypocrite and 1s can see 8 as, like, not self-controlling and all. And I'm like, that is exactly our problem.
Yeah.
And it's like, 8s are more, it was exactly. And then, like, the very last line was something like, a romantic pairing between an 8 and a 1 is very rare. It's like basically alluding to, like, the lack of compatibility.
That's really funny.
Oh, it's good to know that's 10 good. Years in, like, to our relationship. But
screw
anyway.
You, Enneagram Institute.
Yeah.
I'm love, like, is love.
Well, we're in this at this point, so I did. Okay.
Yeah, I do love that they pair with numbers, because as a 2 or a 3, but I really identify most with a 3. And David is a 6. It has been so enlightening to read, like, how those pair with each other.
Yeah. Well, and
because I'm like, I am right. These are the things I've been telling you.
Right.
To work on.
Exactly. Exactly. It's good to kind of feel like not crazy. And Amanda was telling me about back when she and her husband Nick took the test, she was like, my emotional needs are to feel protected and mm-hmm. with him, my number, and Nick's are to protect.
Oh, that's
so I'm
perfect.
Like, oh, so that's why people
okay,
go
so
for
somebody,
compatibility.
Somebody got it right.
Somebody got it right. Not
good job,
me.
Nick and Amanda.
Good job, Nick and Amanda. Pisan and I could perhaps, I don't know, that will help us in no way. Hopefully we make it.
You'll be the exception, not the rule. But yeah.
I'm like, okay, rare.
What
we'll
a
go
case
with
study.
Rare. We'll
a
stick with rare. That feels more like a compliment than not compatible. Anyway, so that's a good note to end it on.
That's great. That's great.
My marriage
is very hopeful.
Might not make it through.
Very hopeful. Yeah. Awesome. We'll be back here next week to talk more about Hannah and everyone's boobs.
Yeah.